Text this morning is, in effect, Jesus' last words to us following his death, resurrection, and ascension. The Gospel, according to St. Matthew, closes with these directions. Jesus says this, and we go from there. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." This is called the Great Commission, often used at ordination services, confirmation, and other places. Essentially, Jesus says, you've seen the story, you've watched it play out, now go change the world, and I've got your back. Do a little exercise with my upper-level students as we try to explain an experience in some ways and address the question, why do we do the things we do? How do we act like we do and why? And the central point of this is that we mostly behave in ways that are consistent with the expectations of the people closest to us. In other words, if our spouses and kids and other relatives and employers and employees expect things of us and we know what they are, generally, that's how we act. Call the Nobel Committee. Well, what I have them do is put in a circle, kind of like the ends of the spokes of a wheel, the actual people that this makes sense for them to be. Maybe it involves parents or spouse or kids and so on. People in our what are called a reference network. Sometimes people want to put Jesus in the network. And I go, okay, that's fine. I understand the historical reality of Jesus of Nazareth and the theological understanding of his life and death and resurrection. I'm a minister. I get that. But Jesus isn't a person in the same way that the people in this room are people in an interaction. And sometimes they fold their arms and go, Jesus too is real. I'm not debating that. It's just the reality is of a different form. He said he's real. He said he'd be with us always. But it's an interesting question. How does that play out? To what extent is the reality of Jesus a part of our day-to-day experience, and how does it inform our behavior? That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. And it relates to a conversation I was having with my sister a couple of weeks ago. In addition to being a nurse practitioner and healthcare provider, she's a church musician. She plays the organ and the piano for worship. She accompanies soloists in the choir and so on. She is the accompanist, which is an interesting set of dynamics and expectations. The accompanist does not pick the tune. The accompanist doesn't even pick the tempo. The accompanist is in the background playing the foundation of the piece, and you are not supposed to know they're even there unless they're not. And then you go, what the heck? Or they make a mistake, and they go, oh, there, okay. The accompanist is in the background, offering support in a way that's unique to most other kinds of relationships. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Yeah, how? I think of the way artists construct paintings. Let's imagine, for example, the painting of a barn and a fence in a field. There are choices. And the same barn and the same fence could be portrayed by different artists in different ways. Imagine the barn in the foreground, the fence in the background, and the field in between. Imagine the fence in the foreground, the barn in the background, and the field in between. Or imagine both on the horizon and a field perhaps containing other creatures, animals and people, and so on. It's a matter of perspective. Well, I think the accompanist and this perspective sheds light on how Jesus is real. Sometimes Jesus accompanies us, and our lives are in the foreground. And in the background is the details of the tune of life, Jesus playing it gently, if you will, on the piano. But we're essentially exercising free will. We're trying to figure out what we want for our seventh birthday. We're trying to figure out what it will be like in junior high and how we should act. we're developing a personality. And we're by and large doing that with some guidance, but largely on our own. We're trying to figure out what skills do we have and how do we apply them in the world. In other words, what do I want to do when I do what grown-ups do? Maybe most importantly, what do I need in a partner? So when we develop our personalities, when we seek a vocation, when we wonder who might love us and journey with us through our lives, we're kind of leading the way. We're in the foreground, but Jesus is the accompanist in the background, pushing us along, moving it forward, but not giving directions. Jesus is the accompanist, and we take the lead in that portion of our lives. And in that sense, he's with us as accompanist. But it goes the other way too, I think. Especially in a crisis or a transition, we accompany Jesus, and he leads us through. Now, sometimes we don't even recognize that's the dynamic until it's over. As in, the crisis has passed or the transition has happened and we've made our way through it, and we stop and suddenly say, I don't believe I survived that. I can't imagine how I got through that. You got through that because you were accompanying the one who led you and showed you the way. I left the ministry a little over 25 years ago. Completely left it, decided I was done. It lasted 2 weeks. That was my decision. And then I got a phone call to try and help out a style of ministry that it turns out is just like this one. And this is the fourth place since I left the ministry that I've been doing ministry. That transition was simply my being led. So you get the idea. Sometimes we do the accompanying, and sometimes we are accompanied by the one who is with us always, and whose reality is hard to describe, but indescribably real. Let's put it that way. Now, on the other hand, most of the time, I mean, we're not always in transition. We're not always trying to figure out new things. We are often mostly about the business of ministry. And instead of the barn or the fence being in the foreground or the background, in this instance, we have the barn and the fence on the horizon, and the field in front, and other people who our ministry empowers in the foreground. A good example of that are the people that will come again to receive food that the partnership we're developing with the food bank is making real. We're kind of in the background, holding hands with each other, but more importantly, we're holding hands with Jesus and our co-accompanists in the empowering of other people. That's what we call mission and ministry. Maybe the most vivid example of this, and maybe the one that makes the most sense individually, we are co-accompanists with Jesus holding his hand as we are the parents of adult children who are making their own way through transition, identity, growth, vocation. We kind of have to let that play itself out, and we hold hands in the background, playing what we know, becoming the example that we've been, and simply letting it be for what it's worth. The good news is that on the horizon, hand in hand with Jesus, well, that's a good place to talk to him. Just kind of whisper conversation, this is what's happening, and, well, we call that prayer. But for most of our life in our ministry, we're sort of partners with this one who has created us and taught us and seen us through crises and helped us develop our own personalities and insights and vocations and loves. But on any given day, when things are not in flames or in the midst of a celebration, we're kind of in the background holding Jesus' hand as partners. I am with you always. How does that work? I will accompany your development. You will accompany me through a crisis. And together, we'll move the world forward. Maybe the whole world, maybe our community, maybe just the adults in our lives who used to be our children in arms, now our offspring, making their own way. If that sounds vaguely Trinitarian, well, maybe the analogy holds. We say every week that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the one who leads us through the struggles of our lives, perhaps. God the Son, the partner, as we accompany those we love in the way of their own choosing. God the Holy Spirit, who accompanies us when the chips are down. Go change the world, Jesus says, and I've got your back. And the image is the many and various ways that together and with Him, we accompany one another. Amen.